For nearly 30 years, he's awakened East Tennesseans on morning radio. Now, every afternoon, he's opening your eyes in a different way.
It's a Phil thing you wouldn't understand.
He's Phil Williams on News Talk 100 WNOX. The Big Talker. Too old to be hip, too broke to retire. It's time for The Phil Show.
Cue the music.
The Rodney Dangerfield of Talk Radio, Jay Kirsten. Yes, I'm here for Phil. It's 51 degrees here in Knoxville. You're listening to The Phil Show. He's still on vacation. He'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, deal with me for the next 2 hours here. Again, 4:07 in the afternoon. Joined this afternoon by Sherry Howlett, Debbie Haney, Sherry Corden. We're talking about autism, specifically in children, but there are adults with it as well. And we may touch on that a little before we wrap up here. Let's go first to Carrie, who's been waiting the most patiently here. Good afternoon, Carrie, and welcome to The Phil Show.
Hi, good afternoon. I was calling in regards to one of the parents that just spoke about her child being restrained. I'm a former Knox County teacher. I taught in special ed CDC classroom, and I'm doing the same in another county. And before we're able to ever restrain, we go through a therapeutic crisis intervention training, and we're trained for an intense week of where we actually go through the process of training. And it's very important when you're in a CDC classroom and you're involved with children, not only with autism, but with other severe emotional disabilities and children who are in wheelchairs and can't take care of themselves. When you have children who, become violent, and there are children on the autism spectrum who do have violent tendencies, and in order to keep your other students safe in the classroom, you've exhausted every behavioral, monitoring possible. Unfortunately, you have to restrain a child to, one, keep your other students safe, because there are those who cannot physically keep themselves safe. And then, second of all, to keep them from hurting them, themselves, from harming themselves physically. Because, once they become out of control, they don't know what they're doing, and you have to restrain. And there are different types of that restraint, a small child hold for the small children versus for the older children. And, that's why that training we go through is there for that restraining, not to injure a child or throw them down because we don't want to deal with them. It's because to keep them safe from harming themselves and the other students. And that's what the CDC teachers and LRE teachers are trained to do. And I feel like parents just, they only hear what they want to hear, and they don't want to understand why this is taking place. And that's what I think we as special ed teachers struggle with, is trying to explain to these specialists and these advocates and these parents of what we are there to do is to help their child learn and be able to go out into the world one day and live independently or an assisted living home, but be successful. And I feel like parents just get caught up on one little thing, oh, they threw my child down and look what they did. And they don't see the whole big, spectrum of it. And I just wanted to call in.
Carrie, if I could comment, I believe I know a little bit about the case of the person that called in. And I would just like to suggest that this person specifically asked for a functional behavior assessment 6 months prior to the incident to address these behaviors, and it was never done. She was told unless her child was suspended, it could not be done.
And there are those situations. Unfortunately, there are those teachers out there who don't do the FBA and the behavior intervention plan. They just totally, they skip all that and go straight to the, well, if you don't. But then there are those out there who, we do follow the pattern, what we need to do in the paperwork and have that in place. But then after it's put in place, the parents are like, well, why did you have to do that? After we tried to explain to them, to keep them safe and the other ones safe. And I mean, I'm not gearing this comment towards that one parent, but that just kind of set a trigger off it, because, I work with many, I have a huge caseload in another county I work with, And those parents, you know, just trying to explain to them, and they get honed in on one little thing, and you try to explain the whole spectrum to them, you know, and not just one meeting. You know, it takes several meetings and everything, and that's just that, you know, that there are different and that it's just not. I don't want these other people listening on the radio to think that we're abusing these children.
No, I don't think that's. I think maybe there was a bad situation that came up at one point, and that was handled very poorly by the folks involved.
And unfortunately, that does occur. But I just kind of wanted to give a little bit more insight.
Sure.
I didn't know if you all had discussed the crisis intervention plan that is in place in Knox County and in other counties.
I do know a little bit about that. That's the Cornell Crisis Intervention. Martha Holden, I think, is one of the people, because she actually has commented on this case, but I don't think it'd be appropriate to make her statement on air. But and the purpose of the Crisis Intervention Program, from my understanding, is that it is used as infrequently as possible.
It is. And you have to document every time and what different types of behavioral attempts that you tried. Did you try a behavior contract, the picture chart to try to decrease that behavior? And then when it just becomes to a violent episode, you know, there are other individuals called in, you know, you're not the only one in the classroom. You do contact, that's why you have phones and walkie-talkies with you, to contact the principal and other teachers to have that assistance. So you're not the only one in the classroom. And then, you know, also to be able to remove the other children from the classroom so they won't have to witness what's going on and to not cause harm upon those other children.
Well, one other question I have, too, is you said something about paperwork. Is that paperwork available to anyone in the community? If someone's hearing this show and they're concerned about that going on in their class, can they go and view all the paperwork for their school to see how often the restraining is taking place? And
I know that when I taught in Knox County, we had a particular child that we had to restrain because she was violent towards the other children. She did injure, that's what she went for, to injure the children who were in wheelchairs and not able to take care of themselves. Now, we would exhaust other measures before that was done, and we would have to write out, gosh, this has been a few years ago when I worked in Knox County, but there was paperwork that we had to fill out. What interventions did you use? What was the type of restraint? Was it the child hold? Was it the one for the older children, which I can't remember the name? How long did it take? Who did you contact your principal? How many individuals were in the room? And then that paperwork was sent to Carnes Annex. And I'm not sure, though. I know that, you know, whatever's in the child's notebook is available for the parent to view. I mean, they sign off on the IEP. They have that right to look at the IEP. I'm not sure, however, if that I'm not sure. I can't answer whether they have that right.
Well, there's a lot of issues because of the privacy laws involved with other parents because of that. So I know that's going to be there'll be some issues to go with that.
Right. I don't think that, you know, just any parent in the world can call up and say, I'd like to know how many times you've restrained this certain child. But maybe if it was your own child. But Carnes Annex is the school that's out next to Carnes Elementary. They should have a file system on each child, and that's where the paperwork was sent. Now, granted, I don't know if that was sent to the central office downtown or if Carnes Annex had that, but that's where you have to have that within 24 hours, that paperwork faxed or sent over to the Carnes Annex to let them know that, yes, a restraining was done to go along with a functional behavior plan set in place for that child.
Okay. Well, Carrie, thanks for all the information.
We
appreciate that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll try and get something a little more of a positive direction here coming up for our next segment here. Our numbers again, 656-8255, 1-800-951-8255. Star 100, a free call for U.S. Cellular and Singular Wireless customers. Once again, back to the streets. Let's check in with Ed Rupp. Ed.
Good afternoon. Interstate traffic still doing well. No problems there. A couple of wrecks, though. At least one person hurt on a wreck, in a wreck rather, on Ebenezer Road near Westland. Ambulance service on the scene with that. Also watch for a wreck on Campbell Station Road at Heron, just off of Interstate 40. We'll keep you updated. I'm Ed Rupp, checking traffic.
A few clouds overnight at 35, cloudy and 58 Tuesday, 64 here on Wednesday. From the WVLT Pinpoint 8 Doppler Weather Center, this is Scott Blaylock.
You're listening to Phil Williams on the 100,000-watt Kemosabe of love. The Big Talker. News Talk 100 WNOX.
It is 52 degrees here in Knoxville. It's 418. You're listening to The Phil Show. He's still on vacation. He'll be back tomorrow. I'm Jay Kirsting. But now it's time for sports. With that, here is Dave Nathan.
The Lady Vols fall on Senior Day. Good afternoon. I'm Dave Nathan with your Phil Show Sports Update, brought to you by Airport Cadillac, home of East Tennessee's best selection of pre-owned certified Cadillacs with factory warranties up to 100,000 miles. Always the best selection, Airport Cadillac. The Lady Gators needed extra time to beat Tennessee yesterday, but Florida comes out with a hard-earned 95-93 win in overtime. The loss knocks the Lady Vols down to 11-3 in the SEC and 25-4 overall. Florida improves to 8-6 in conference play and 20-7 so far this year. The Lady Vols were led by Candace Parker, who had a career-high 34 points. Taisha Fluker and Shauna Zolman both had 22. Sydney Spencer chips in 11. However, Florida had five players in double figures that got them the two-point victory. Some other news in basketball action yesterday. Alabama takes down Florida in Tuscaloosa, 82-77. Alabama, second place in the SEC West at 9-5, 16-10 overall. Florida continues their stumbling ways. They fall to 8-6 in SEC play. They're 2-4 through their last six games. We've got more of the Phil Show coming up right after this on the Big Talker. News Talk 100 WNOX.
It may not be an award-winning program,
but do you really think Phil needs a plaque on the wall to get his point across?
The Phil Show
on News Talk 100 WNOX.
The Big Talker.
52 degrees at 4:20 in the afternoon. A beautiful afternoon. Cool start this morning. You are listening to The Phil Show. He's on vacation. We'll be back tomorrow. And I believe he's going to talk a little bit more about the passing of Don Knotts. I'm Jay Kirsting sitting in. We're talking autism. And one thing we didn't get to yet is what autism is not. Sherry, you've got a breakdown as to what it is not. Let's get some of the myths out of the way.
Okay. It is not the result of poor parenting. They are not unruly or spoiled kids with just a behavior problem. And the vast majority of persons with autism are not savants, like the character portrayed by Dustin Hoffman mm-hmm. in the movie Rain Man. And they are not without feelings and emotions.
That is for sure. It seems like sometimes they don't understand other people's emotions.
Right.
But they themselves definitely have it. Let's go to Jeff, who's been waiting patiently. Jeff, welcome to the Phil Show.
Hello. Good program, guys.
Thank you.
And Debbie, this is Jeff from Educate Before You Vaccinate, and you're doing a terrific job. Debbie is truly one of the heroes in the autism community, but I wanted to give a few facts about the fact that many of our children test very high for mercury toxicity, and mm-hmm. It's a huge issue, and Debbie knows quite a bit about it because I see her postings and talk to her quite a bit about it, and one fact is, all the doctors seem to say it's all out. Well, the fact is, it's not all out.
Now, thimerosal still exists in a lot of the vaccines out there.
Right. If you listen to them very closely, they'll say it's all out as a preservative. What they don't tell you is it's still in there as a sterilizing agent.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working in Tennessee trying to get the amount of mercury limited. There's a bill pending in the state of Tennessee. It's been held up in the House, but we passed the Senate without any opposition. But many of our children test very high for mercury toxicity, and it comes from the vaccines. This ingredient, thimerosal, used to be in veterinarian vaccines. Used to be in dog and cat vaccines.
Used to be in saline solution for contact lenses, too.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And it was too toxic to give our dogs and our cats, but it's okay to give to babies, which is just no part of that makes any sense to me or anybody logical. Why they would take it out of dogs and cats, but yet still give it to babies. And see, my son is autistic. He's 6 years old, and he was actually doing just fine, talking and all this stuff. And then after he got his 15-month vaccines, and everyone keeps saying MMR, there's very few people says that MMR causes autism, but there's a lot of people says that the mercury in the vaccines causes autism because there's been two studies done amongst unvaccinated populations. One of them was amongst the Amish, and they found only four children in this huge community in Pennsylvania who had autism. Of the four, three of them had been vaccinated. See, the Amish, for the most part, do not vaccinate.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another pediatrician group in Chicago that has 30 to 35,000 children who has not been vaccinated. Of the 30 to 35,000 children who has not been vaccinated, they have zero autism.
Hmm.
And autism today, I don't know if y'all have covered this fact yet or not, autism today, according to the CDC, is one in every 166
yep.
children.
Yeah, I mentioned that at the top of the show. We didn't go over that again when we all gathered, or we all reconvened together. But you're right. It's a pretty outrageous statistic, and a lot of groups out there trying to get that a little more well-known. There's also been some connection to not necessarily the amount of heavy metal, mercury specifically, in not just the vaccines, but also in community pollutants that could be a cause as well.
Fish.
Right. Let me tell you, many people don't realize where all it comes from. It actually comes from crematoriums. Every time mm-hmm. you cremate someone and they have dental fillings in their
yep.
their teeth, you're putting a tremendous amount of mercury in the air and a lot of other places it comes from, but that's one of the main core places it comes from. And a lot of the doctors said, oh, that's just a few wacky parents that just won't, they're just after money. Well, when you have people like the chairman of the chemistry department at the University of Kentucky, Dr. Boyd Haley, he's helping us. He believes it. He's trying his best to convince everyone else of it, and we have probably thousands of doctors that actually is trying to help us and do know that it is coming from the vaccine
mm-hmm.
and the mercury in the vaccine. What was you going to say, David?
I just wanted to mention that the bill that you're talking about, Jeff and I had the privilege, I don't know if Jeff was there last spring, to go to Nashville to ask our lawmakers to pass this bill. That House bill, I believe, is House Bill 0956. Would that be correct, Jeff?
It's close.
There are a couple different versions out there.
5-6 or 5-7. I can't remember. I think it is 5-6.
Right? I think it's 0956. The Senate bill is 1616. And I would also like to give a personal thank you to our state senator, Tim Burchett, and my representative, Stacey Campfield, for backing that bill. Because the fact is that there's just no reason to have it in there. This day and mm-hmm. age, we have so many alternatives out there. My daughter regressed at 9 months when she got a hepatitis B vaccine while she was still recovering from chickenpox. So, you know, some people argue, well, that 15-month age is when they're going to regress. Well, mine was months beneath that
sure.
thing. But, you know, whether or not you feel that it's a factor or not, I think everyone can agree that there's no reason to put mercury in a little baby's vaccine.
No, not. I mean, there was never a reason for it other than just pure ignorance. But like
right.
I said, it was even in saline solution used for people wearing contact lenses up until, I think, the 1970s. So
mm-hmm.
that's pretty crazy. Let's go to Jessica, who's been holding patiently. Jessica, welcome to the Phil Show.
Hi. I had a couple of questions.
Yes, okay, go ahead.
I missed the first part of the show, but what else is autism commonly misdiagnosed as, and what are some of the symptoms? Just really quickly.
It's a pretty wide area. I know even in the area of Asperger's, sometimes ADHD is a mm-hmm. common misdiagnosis for Asperger's, but Sherry, I don't know what you have some more insight on that.
I was just going to add that a lot of times you get diagnosed with the ADHD or the...
Sometimes you get other issues like OCD. I've heard a lot of kids mm-hmm. being diagnosed with bipolar. A lot of things with autism can cohabitate. You can have a child with autism that also has OCD. I think the higher functioning the child is, the more difficult it is to pin down that definite diagnosis. The lack of social referencing, from my understanding, is the hallmark.
Okay.
Sherry, what have you seen in the classroom?
Sensory issues,
mm-hmm.
communication. Of course, it is a communication disorder, and social skills.
Because one of the things that I was worried about with Ben was ADHD, because I'm sitting here at age 35, diagnosed 5 years ago as ADHD, mm-hmm. and I'm going, I don't want my son given Ritalin because I know what it did to me, which is why I quit it, and I still bounce off the walls. But, I mean, have you seen that as a possibility?
I don't see that, but my strength, what I offer to the child is that I know typical growth and development patterns. And what may look to some people like ADHD to a kindergarten teacher would not. I teach kindergarten, and I think mm-hmm. that's where you're going to really notice something like that. But as an educator, that's not what I see, but that's just my particular you know, experience. I see more sensory integration issues, communication, and social skills.
Phone lines open, 656-8255, 1-800-951-8255. I should ask, first of all, you can stick around for a little bit longer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. We'll try and keep this conversation going. And Star 100 freebie for U.S. Cellular and Singular Wireless customers. We'll break for news. When we come back, more of The Phil Show discussing autism. I'm Jay Kirsten sitting in.
His opinion.
They don't need a phone at school. It's dumb.
Now, make it yours.
They don't need a phone at school. It's dumb.
Phil Williams on News Talk 100 WNOX. News updates around the clock from
East Tennessee's Big Talker.
News Talk 100
WNOX.
WNOX. The Big Talker. Your news begins now.
I'm Christine Jessel in the 24-hour WNOX Fox Newsroom. A White House spokesman says House Democrats are barking up the wrong tree. He says lawmakers calling for a special counsel to investigate the administration's domestic spying program should instead pursue whoever disclosed that the program exists. A letter from 18 Democrats today urged the Attorney General to appoint an investigator. The head of Afghan prison says everything is quiet at Kabul's main jail, and he's optimistic about resolving a standoff with prisoners. Officials say water, electricity, and food is flowing again after inmates agreed to stop violence. Pennsylvania police say a man and his girlfriend were drinking before she plunged to her death from a high-rise apartment in Harrisburg. Officials say Kevin Evenrode told police he and his girlfriend were playing around when he lost his grip while dangling her out a 23rd-story window Saturday night. It's 4:31, now Big Talker traffic with Ed Rupp.
Good afternoon. Interstate traffic still doing pretty well as you travel 40 westbound, trying to squeeze past that construction at Paper Mill Road. Got a couple of wrecks to look out for. One person hurt out on Ebenezer Road near Westland. Emergency equipment on the scene with that. Also, there's a wreck on Campbell Station Road just off the interstate at Heron. I'm Ed Rupp with a traffic update.
Partly cloudy through the evening with a few clouds overnight. Lows by morning in the mid-30s. Cloudy skies here on Tuesday. A few breaks in the clouds. Highs in the upper 50s. Partly cloudy. Warm weather on Wednesday. Highs back in the low to mid-60s. We'll see a slight chance of rain here, but still mild on Thursday. From the WVLT Pinpoint 8 Doppler Weather Center, this is Scott Blaylock.
In Knoxville, mostly cloudy and 52 degrees. I'm Christine Jessel on the Big Talker. News Talk 100, WNOX.
The Phil Show continues on the Big Talk.
News Talk 100 WNOX.
And welcome back to the Phil Show. 52 degrees. A little bit of clouds coming, it looks like. It's 4:33 in the afternoon. I'm Jay Kirsting. This is the Phil Show. Phil, back tomorrow right here in the big chair, and I'll be back monitoring the roadways once again, as I normally do. We're talking about autism. My guests this afternoon, Sherry Corden, Debbie Haney, Sherry Howlett. And we've hit a whole different area here, but one thing we really haven't touched on is, what if your child might be autistic? What should you look for? Where do you go? What do you do? Sherry, let's start with you. What would key you off as to a possible diagnosis that you might want to find further if your child has autism?
You mean as far as like the red flags?
Some of the red flags you would see.
Okay. Insistence on sameness or routine.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, severe language deficits, prefers to be alone or aloof in manner, spins objects.
Spins themselves.
Right.
That's.
Or sustained odd play or little or no eye contact. Difficulty in expressing needs. Uneven gross or fine motor skills.
Mm-hmm.
That
beyond just simple clumsiness.
Right.
Okay.
And then possibly repeating words or phrases from movies.
I do movie quotes all the time. But I'm just a movie junkie.
For example.
Yeah. I think I've just been diagnosed here. Let me give you the phone numbers again, folks. 656-8255, 1-800-951-8255. That's 1-800-951-TALK. Star 100 free call for U.S. Cellular and Singular Wireless customers. Debbie?
Yes.
You see those symptoms. What should you do next?
Well, the younger you can see those symptoms, the better. There are lots of pluses to early diagnosis. We have right here a statement from the Autism Society that says recent research has indicated that children with autism can be diagnosed accurately at the age of 2 years of age. Some things to look for the very young: no big smiles, no babbling. My daughter completely stopped babbling at 9 months. She had pulled up by 8 months, but then walked almost 17 months. If they don't point, if they don't follow your gaze, if they are under three, you have a wonderful thing in the Tennessee Early Intervention System. That is a program that provides educational services from children 0 to 3 years of age. The phone number for the Knoxville office is 865-974-2838. You call them and you say, I'm concerned about my child's development. I would like a developmental assessment. They will come to your home, do a developmental assessment, and go from there. If your child scores, I forget the specifics, is it 25% in one area or 20% in two or more areas, your child qualifies for services. There are a variety of services out there: speech language therapy, occupational therapy, ABA, which is huge. That is the way that you teach children through using positive rewards, children with autism. New thing I mentioned earlier, RDI, is huge. That teaches children how to read facial expressions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful thing that really helps bring joy back to a family. And the other thing not mentioned in any of our materials, I'm a Christian, and I could not be where I am today were it not for my faith in Jesus, because I have gone from telling him I want to do his will to telling him to get out of my life if he's not going to heal my child, and back again. There are some churches that have asked family with their children with autism not to come back again. My church is Whitestone Fellowship, that's meeting now at Bricky McLeod, and I can assure you we will welcome any child with autism and do whatever we can, because it's very important, whether you're a Christian, Islam, Jewish, that you get that spiritual growth and support in your family.
Let's go back to the phones, where Lilia joins us. Lilia, welcome to the Phil Show.
Hi, this is Lilia Avila, and my daughter's going to turn 3 March the 3rd, and she just was diagnosed not too long ago, like 4 months ago. I took her to a psychologist, she told me, and I guess I'm still in denial. We went on the 21st to the school district because I was involved in TIS, and there was a psychologist there, and she confirmed it again. So I'm just banking everything in, you know, and we're going to school to, like, so they could give me, like, the evaluation and everything on the 2nd of March, and I'm so ignorant, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I just don't know anything.
And I can tell you from my experience, it takes a while to let it soak in and to make sure it's what you're really facing and what you're really dealing with. I can tell you that was...
I mean, every time I just talk about it, I just get so emotional. I just...
Yep.
There's some times where I see that there's something not right, you know?
It's taken me almost 4 years to get to the point where I felt comfortable putting this
but there's a lot of times. There's a lot of times where I see... I mean, she was taking OT. I have two older children where they had just speech delay. So they were, I started taking them to speech therapy through TIS and stuff. So I thought that's what she had, you know what I'm saying? But then after we started testing her again, we got her involved in OT, and I have the number for the rehab specialties if you want it. And for the kids rehab.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What is that number?
It's 966-8545.
Okay. 966-8545. That's for rehab specialties.
Yes. And that's in here in Knoxville. That's the closest one here in Knoxville. That's what they do occupational therapy and speech therapy as well.
Okay.
And she was going there, and now she's getting involved in the school system, and just hearing that mom about restraining, and, I mean, it just freaks me out, you know?
Well, I would like to suggest, first of all, there is also another end to autism, and that's the biomedical approach. There are very few, in fact, I don't know of really very many practitioners in this town that know anything about autism, and there are some wonderful, significant treatments out there. We are having a biomedical support group tonight at the Earth Fair in Turkey Creek at 6:30. So, Mom, the first thing I would suggest is that you just come down there if you just need some support, if you need to meet some other parents. We'll cry together. We'll laugh together. We'll, you know, talk about what's out there. There is also a specific treatment protocol known as DAN, D-A-N. It stands for Defeat Autism Now.
Mm-hmm.
This is a group of world-renowned scientists and physicians that are getting together. They have biomedical conferences twice a year. We are lucky to have a doctor in Cleveland, Tennessee. That is our nearest DAN doctor. His name is Dr., I believe, David Adams. I do not have a number on him. He is in Cleveland. I have heard some wonderful things about him. I'm about to take my daughter to see him as well. But he can help with a lot of these treatments. At one mom to another, I would tell you that it's never hopeless, that you have a beautiful daughter that has some issues. And, you know, it's very difficult in a lot of ways. You have to bury the child that you thought you had and get to know the child that you do have. But children with autism are just as wonderful as children that are typical. And, you know, just take it one day at a time. You know, Jesus may come tomorrow, and then we don't have to worry about IEP meetings. But
yeah.
Every child, no matter what, is different, and they all have the things that you come to love about them. I've got two sons who one is in the Talent and Gifted program, and the other is in special ed services, and I couldn't love either one anymore, but I love them both differently. So, I mean, it's different. Our numbers again, 656-8255, 1-800-951-8255, and Star 100 is a free call for U.S. Cellular and Singular Wireless customers. It is time once again to go back to the streets and my friend Ed Rupp.
Good afternoon. Hey, this Monday's doing pretty well. Keep our fingers crossed. So far, so good with interstate traffic. No problems there. Cleaning up a couple of wrecks. One happened on Ebenezer Road near Westland. Also, just off Interstate 40 on Campbell Station Road at Heron. We'll keep you updated. I'm Ed Rupp, checking traffic.
A few clouds overnight at 35, cloudy and 58 Tuesday, 64 here on Wednesday. From the WVLT Pinpoint 8 Doppler Weather Center, this is Scott Blaylock.
Bill Williams, the voice of reason with a face for radio.
That's all I have to say about that.
Stay tuned. More of the Phil Show's on the way on the Big Talker. Big Talker. News Talk 100 WNOX. The Phil Show. We start the fires. And KFD and Rural Metro were kind enough to put them out. Phil Williams is on the Big Talker. News Talk 100 WNOX.
52 degrees, 444. I'm Jay Kirsting on The Phil Show. Phil, back in tomorrow right here in the big chair. That means I'll be back out wandering the roadways and telling you where all the wrecks and stuff are. You know, we've talked all over the area on autism here this afternoon. We're going to get right to the phones, but real quickly, a nice story out of, I believe it was out of New York State, about a 17-year-old who attained the rank of Eagle Scout. Oh, yeah, and he's got autism. So, folks, if you have an autistic child, they have got a bright future. They probably more now than ever with what's known out there for treatments. They probably the future is probably brighter more now than probably at any time ever. I mean, looking at the people I mentioned earlier who may have been Asperger's sufferers who went on to do some pretty great things. I mean, Thomas Jefferson, thank you. We have a great country. He helped.
Amen.
George Patton kind of kept us... to be that country. So let's go back to the phones where Jenny joins us. Jenny, welcome to the Phil Show. You're here with Jay Kirsting, Sherry Howlett, Debbie Haney, Sherry Corden. Jenny? Did we lose Jenny?
Hello?
Oh, we didn't get a button pushed over in the control room. Jenny, welcome to the Phil Show.
Hello. I have a nephew that has autism, and I can't help a whole lot, but I would like to do some things on the bills currently, like getting petitions signed or whatever. How can you tell me where to go and what to do?
There are two bills right now. One is, the Senate bill 2719, and its sister bill for the House is 2744. This is known as the Autism Equity Act. Basically, it says that no longer can insurance companies deny coverage for autism because it is not a mental health disorder. It is a neurological, biological disorder. You can contact your local senator and representative and ask them to support this bill. I believe it may have been up for a vote today. Many of us that have children with autism get denied insurance coverage because they say it is a mental health disorder, and it is not a mental health disorder. The other thing I mentioned...
it's just a way for the insurance weasels to keep out of doing their job and paying their bills. And that's a personal frustration that I will throw out there, and I will call them what they are. It's a way to get them out of their responsibility.
I know it. My brother-in-law's insurance wants my nephew to go in the hospital.
No.
For therapy. I mean, that would freak him out.
Well, another friend's insurance company wanted the occupational therapist to train her to do their job. And, you know, she said, I am a licensed occupational therapist for a reason. You are asking me to train someone that is not licensed to do a licensed job. They'll try everything, but just keep fighting. The other is the bills that I mentioned, the Thimerosal bill, House Bill 0956. The Senate version is 1616. This bill will not allow any child 8 or under or pregnant woman to receive any vaccine that has higher than trace amounts of Thimerosal, with the exception of the flu vaccine or with the exception of an outbreak. You know, there's going to be some argument saying, well, you're going to scare people off. Well, I can tell you right now, I have a 3-year-old that's never been immunized, who does have a mild language delay, and I'm very thankful that I have not immunized her. Not that I take peace in that. It is a very difficult decision. I never tell anyone to do it one way or the other, but, you know, this is very solid legislation. It protects children, it protects pregnant women, and it also allows for, you know, a significant outbreak if the only thing that is available is a Thimerosal version. From my perspective, I can see no reason not to support this bill. Just contact your legislatures and tell them you have to support these bills. These are solid bills to protect our future children, to provide more insurance equity.
And you think maybe there's a little bit of an insurance lobby that may be trying to fight these things?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Let's go next to Kathy, who joins us. And thanks for waiting patiently, Kathy.
No problem. No problem. I've been listening on and off here, and I just wanted to make sure that if there are parents who are struggling, make sure that you fight for your kids. It's very important, because if you don't fight for them, nobody else is going to. And something else that I happen to relate personally to this, but also my sister works in a school district in Michigan, and she gets frustrated when she sees that there are kids out there who need help, who need the services, but the parents refuse to acknowledge that there might be a problem. And you're doing your kids more of a disservice than you know, because they can't get the services they need to succeed unless you get them tested.
Mm-hmm.
And while it is hard to think that, oh, my child is not the perfect, you know, we all go in when we're parents, we think our kids are perfect. And when somebody has the audacity to tell you that there's something wrong, you get defensive, and you need to work and be an advocate for your child. Win or lose, you know, none of us wanted to have a child who has a disorder. But you know what? I am blessed to have Ben as my child. And there are so many other issues that are out there I don't have to deal with. You know, there are parents who deal with cancer and in other life and death situations where, you know, it's a little Asperger's. Mm-hmm. I can deal with that.
Yeah. And we've been haven't had to fight too much, but we've had to fight occasionally. And
exactly. And I love the whole insurance thing. Thank God. Because when we were first going through the testing things, I threatened my pediatrician. I said, you cannot put the word autism on anything that you submit to the insurance company. I said, because they will not pay. And if they won't pay, I'm not paying.
Yeah. And in fact, currently, I believe Ben's diagnosis is simply an educational diagnosis. It's not even on his medical records because of what Kathy and I have had to deal with in that issue when it first came up 4 years ago, which is why I have a very outspoken viewpoint, don't I?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. But also, I want to tell Sherry Corden again, I cannot, you know, words cannot express how much you mean to our family. And Ben is who he is today because of all of your patience and your guidance, and even helping Jay and I, helping us to understand that he is a special little person. And, you know, people would be lucky to get to know him and have him as a friend.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Kath. Appreciate
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Before we have to hit our next break, let's hit Rhonda, who's been waiting patiently. Rhonda, welcome to The Phil Show.
Hi. I have a son with autism, and I actually have three that we homeschool. And I was wondering if there was any specific homeschool support groups, because when I go to a regular group, I feel left out because I don't deal with the school system anymore.
I personally don't know of any homeschool. I mean, I know there's a lot of parents pulling their kids from the school system to homeschool.
Right.
But I don't know any specifics. Do you, Debbie?
I know of a person that has a website. If you will email me at fightingautism@yahoo.com, I will forward you that link.
Okay.
To the websites. I'm not sure how many of them are specific to autism, but I know the person that runs the website has a special interest in autism, so that might give you a lead.
What is your email again?
Fighting Autism, all one word, at yahoo.com.
Okay.
And Mary Johnson has another book called 1-2-3 Get Ready, which is a home program for preparing a child mm-hmm. with autism from kindergarten, but it also is just a good home program. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have an in-home program for Levi right now, and it's going fabulous. But and I've read her book, and it was great, so it helped me out.
Great. Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you.
And tonight you have that meeting out at Turkey Creek. It's at Earth Fair.
Yes, it's at the Earth Fair.
Parkside Drive on the, as you're heading westbound, it's on the right-hand side.
Yes.
Just off of Lovell Road. And that's at what time tonight?
6:30.
6:30, okay.
Yes.
Right out at Earth Fair. So, folks, if you have more questions, I guess, come out there and meet Debbie and everybody else, and they can kind of help out with some of your questions on that. We'll stick with this topic for a little while longer, as long as y'all can stick with me here. But real quickly, the phone number, 656-8255, 1-800-951-8255, and star 100 is the free call if you carry a U.S. cellular or singular wireless phones. However, at this time, we need to break once again. Check on that afternoon commute, which on Mondays can be tricky. Let's see what it's looking like right now. Here is Ed Rupp.
All in all, this Monday afternoon, moving along in pretty good shape. Not bad at 40 eastbound, westbound past construction there around Paper Mill Road. Clearing stages of a couple of wrecks, one just off 40 on Campbell Station Road at Heron. Also, unfortunately, had one person hurt in a wreck up on Ebenezer Road near Westland. We'll keep you updated. I'm Ed Rupp, checking traffic.
Only a few clouds through the evening. Cloudy overnight. By morning, we'll see 35 degrees. Cloudy skies through the day on Tuesday, but no chance of rain. Highs in the upper 50s, 58 here in Knoxville. Partly cloudy and warm on Wednesday. High temperature 64 degrees. From the WVLT 10.8 Doppler Weather Center, this is Scott Blaylock.
He's like an extra airbag for your car. Phil Williams is on the big talker. News Talk 100 WNOX. Phil Williams is on the Big Talker.
There is no escape.
More of the Phil Show now on News Talk 100 WNOX.
And welcome back to the Phil Show. 52 degrees, 4:56. Not much time left in this hour, but I've asked everybody to stick around a little bit longer and take more of your phone calls, so get them all queued up here. 656-8255, 1-800-951-8255, and star 100, a free call for U.S. cellular and singular wireless customers. Cindy has a question on the legislation side of things. Cindy, welcome to the Phil Show.
Hi. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm on my cell phone. I have a couple of statements and questions. I'm currently working on my PhD, and I do have a two-year-old, so I've done some research on it. And in my research on the thimerosal and all the controversy, I found that the biggest proponent of protecting the insurance, or not the insurance companies, but the pharmaceutical companies and the use of thimerosal is Bill Frist, which really distresses me because I've always been a big fan of Bill Frist and being from Tennessee. But do y'all know anything about that and Bill Frist's role in the legislation?
Not much time, but Debbie?
Yes. A parent group that I've been involved with has been going around meeting with the different people, and I'll just tell you straight up, I'm a Baptist, NASCAR-loving, Republican-voting East Tennessee woman, and I will probably do everything I can to unless Bill Frist makes a change, I will actively campaign against him should he run for president in 2008.
I read that he is sticking in all the legislation that no class action suits can be filed against any pharmaceutical company, and he explains this by that will put the pharmaceutical companies out of business because we need them for terrorism.
We have the vaccine compensation fund where we pay like 75 cents out of every vaccine every person gets into this fund. So if your child is injured, you can collect. I applied for this 3 to 4 years ago and have heard nothing yet. If he really wants to do that, I'm all for tort reform, but fix the vaccine compensation fund. I cannot tell you the number of treatments I could have gotten my child if we could have collected those funds.
More coming up next hour. Get your calls in here, 656-8255 at 656-TALK, 1-800-951-8255. Star 100, a free call for USA or Singular Wireless customers. Phil, back tomorrow. For now, I'm Jay Kirsting on WNOX.